to the Post Sermon Podcast. I am Deaconess Dahlia, and with me today is Pastor Adam.
Hey, Deaconess.
How are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great. So today we're actually recording on call day.
Yeah, for the St. Louis Seminary.
Yeah, so our watch party is coming up. Kind of fun.
Yes.
So we do have an Around the Sermon episode that...
It came out last week.
Yeah, that's talking about the process of these calls that are going out to soon-to-be pastors.
From our seminaries.
And then the difference between that and then the placement of vicars, right, from our seminaries. And so that's something to listen to if you haven't already.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I watched the Fort Wayne call service last night that was being streamed. They had their vicarage one on Monday. And so for calls, I saw that there's 5 pastors coming to the Ohio District already. So there may be a couple more coming coming tonight. So we will see.
Any placed in the Columbus area?
Not that I know of.
Okay. Just curious. Well, very good. But this episode is not an Around the Sermon episode. This is just about your sermon from Sunday.
Well, actually, one's going to Sydney, Ohio.
Sydney?
You take 33 out. I think it's near like Bellefontaine or... My Ohio geography is pretty limited, so...
Okay, but so that might be the closest to us so far.
Yeah, Redeemer Lutheran in Sydney, yep.
Okay, so this episode, we are talking about your sermon from this past Sunday, which was actually Good Shepherd Sunday.
Yeah, Good Shepherd Sunday, a long time celebration in the church during Easter, and really holding on to that text from John 10 when Jesus says, I am the Good Shepherd, and how this Good Shepherd lays down his life for us, his sheep.
And it's really cool that Good Shepherd Sunday is in the season of Easter as well.
Absolutely. It's one of those Sundays that, for me, kind of lost like its appeal. I think just because of its repetition, all right, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. But over the years, I am increasing my joy with that day, and I think just seeing our Lord for us, and not just he's this gentle shepherd, but he's the one who fights the wolves. He's the one who defends us, and he will keep us safe all the way through.
And I really love the readings for the Sunday as well.
Oh, they're great.
I think going back to one-year lectionary stuff, we were mentioning how Old Testament, epistle, and gospel reading, you can notice more connections between the three.
Yeah, and actually, I don't know if you drew attention to that, but in the one-year lectionary, there's not a first reading, and we've been reading from Acts. In the three-year lectionary, we always read a bunch of Acts stuff during Easter, which kind of annoys me. I love that we read Old Testament during Easter because all the hope is there all along. So we have, Ezekiel 34? Is that the Old Testament reading?
Yes, Ezekiel 34, then 1 Peter 2, and the Gospel is John 10. In all three, we have mention of the Good Shepherd, so that's cool.
Yes, and that Ezekiel reading is just, I love that reading when Yahweh says, I will come down, I will shepherd my sheep. Essentially, everyone else is screwing up, I'm going to put it right. And we see that fulfilled in Christ.
Yeah, and then you also in Ezekiel 34, I love how much of it reminds me of like Psalm 23.
Yep.
Which is really cool. Thinking verse 15, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. How can you not think of Psalm 23 there?
Right. And so the choir in early service sang a piece on Psalm 23, and then in the late service, I love the worship team's version of Psalm 23. It's just one of my favorite things that we sing here. And representing both services.
Yes. So tell us, what was the text that you preached on?
I preached on the epistle, which is 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's dealing with this topic. You get the, we were like sheep being led away, led astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So, I mean, that's the end. So it gets the shepherd reference. But Peter is making a huge point about suffering. Much of 1 Peter deals with the topic of suffering and the enduring of suffering, what it means as Christians to live in the midst of suffering and seeing our Savior who suffered everything. And everything unfairly for our sake, right? By his wounds, we are healed.
I was going to say, we have echoes of this passage in other parts of Scripture, and you just hit it right there in verse 24. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, which is also in Romans, right? And then by his wounds, you have been healed. Isaiah.
Yeah. We got the nice Good Friday references, Isaiah 52, 53, and this has been the plan all along for God, that how he would save us is by God crushing God, the sacrifice of the Son of God for us, and just the mystery of God's triune work.
Okay, so you mentioned how First Peter has a lot to do with suffering, right? So this was a big theme in your sermon as well, was our suffering. What was your central teaching?
The central teaching of the sermon is Christ our shepherd has not lost you.
So then thinking about our own suffering, and I guess maybe to define suffering, this would be...
I think one of the challenges with suffering, and sorry to cut you off, is there's a lot that can be said about suffering, and Christians have wondered much about that topic and that word. And that's even just something you and I in our studies have kind of come together on, and different ways to speak of suffering. And so here in Peter, he's thinking about the specific suffering that Christians have for the sake of being Christians. Sometimes we refer to this as suffering under the Holy Cross, right?
Yes.
And while there's that form of suffering, but there's also just, we live in a world where there's pain and hardship, the decay of bodies and all sorts of things like this. And so it's difficult in one sermon to deal with the whole topic of suffering because there are so many facets. I mean, those are just two right there. And, but I wanted to just speak a little bit into the suffering idea, and there's more that can be said. And I think that's one of the cautions here with hearing this sermon is there is a lot more that can be said and a whole variety of reasons for suffering.
So what did you want to do with suffering in your sermon?
Knowing that it can be such a difficult topic to wrangle and get, it can tangent so quickly, and knowing that there is a whole variety of suffering and sufferings amongst any congregation and amongst this congregation and those I'll be preaching to, I thought it was a way to get into this was to have the story of another pastor that I visited that week who was in the hospital for treatment. And in some sense to see like, I mean, here's a pastor who's suffering. He's a pastor who couldn't be with his people for Holy Week and Easter. And I could use that encounter as a way to kind of speak into our sufferings as well, as kind of a way to kind of collect it all together. And maybe just the idea when we are in the midst of suffering, we can feel as if our God has lost us, or he doesn't care, or where is he in all this? And I thought that was an appropriate way to deal with the idea of Christ, our good shepherd, that he's the shepherd who finds us. We're never lost in him. And so that was the aspect I was kind of going at with suffering here.
Yeah, that is interesting. I mean, I think suffering can definitely be a very isolating experience. So going to what you said, not only do we sometimes feel like we are alone in that, that people around us maybe are not understanding or are maybe not there for us in the way we want, but then what you just said about even in that spiritual side, that God himself is not there, or he's forgotten us, he's abandoned us, he's lost us. Going back to maybe the problem of your sermon.
Or even just like, you know, does God even understand what I'm feeling? And Peter's point is a huge exclamation. Yes, he does. And do you understand the suffering that God has underwent for you? Right? The crucifixion really is the most unjust, unfair, wicked act in the world. And Christ did it for you. And through this crucifixion, through his resurrection, the good shepherd who took up his life again, he has found you and forever holds you to himself. What comfort in the midst of our suffering that while it's here, while it persists and we don't know if our suffering will be taken away on this side of eternity, the promise is that suffering will die. Just as it died with Christ on the cross, our suffering will die and will rise to life without suffering on the last day.
I think it's really cool to think how Jesus shares in our suffering, and he does this for us. And kind of going back to like 1 Peter 2, the whole passage, right? It talks about this, but it starts out, you've been called because Christ also suffered for you. So we have it right at the beginning. And then in verse 24, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree. So there's just this joining together, the sharing of our suffering is his suffering. And that's really cool.
I mean, you remind me of a hymn. This is 544. It's O Love How Deep. And there's this repetition over and over of that language of for us, of what Christ does for us. Let me just read the hymn. O love, how deep, how broad, how high, beyond all thought and fantasy, that God, the Son of God, should take our mortal form for mortal sake. Verse 2. He sent no angel to our race of higher or of lower place, but wore the robe of human frame, and to this world himself he came. 3. And here's, and then for the next 4 verses, just over and over again, for us. So I'll just stop saying the verses. So here we go. For us baptized, for us he bore his holy fast and hungered sore. For us temptation sharp he knew, for us the tempter overthrew. For us he prayed, for us he taught, for us his daily works he wrought, by words and signs and actions thus, seeking not himself, but us. For us by wickedness betrayed, for us in crown of thorns arrayed, he bore the shameful cross and death, for us he gave his dying breath. For us he rose from death again, for us he went on high to reign, for us he sent his Spirit here to guide, to strengthen, and to cheer. And finally, verse 7, all glory to our Lord and God, for love so deep, so broad, so high, the Trinity whom we adore forever and forevermore. I just love the for us over and over, and this is what Peter emphasizes. And in the midst of our sufferings, whatever they may be, and the causes of them, and plenty to talk about there if we want to, even still, our shepherd, our Christ, is for us and for you. And to hold on to that in the midst of whatever suffering is being endured right now, you're not lost to your shepherd.
How did you intend to benefit your hearers in their faith or life, especially in their sufferings? Like, knowing that, how will that benefit us?
I think there's two things. One is to name aloud the reality of suffering. Often we'll kind of try to ignore it or not name it for what it is and for the awfulness or the unfairness or whatever words you want to use for it. And so I think that's part of the benefit of a sermon like this, is we actually get to name the tension. We actually name the pain aloud. And that our God has done and is dealing with it too. And how we're not lost to our Savior. Our God will put suffering to death, and we have this hope even still. And so just as, you know, with my example of that pastor, you know, I don't have an update of how he's doing. We often don't have updates from each other about our suffering either, other than we're continuing in it. And even still, in the midst of our sufferings, we're not lost to our God and Savior, because Christ, our shepherd, has not lost us. And that's everything for the faith. That's everything we cling to, is the God who will not let go of us.
It's like that water that we can drink deeply, you know, while we're thirsting for righteousness and thirsting for some kind of help, right, in the midst of that.
It really is the relief that we need.
I think it's an embodied hope as well, right? It's not just this idea that God loves us and is there for us, but actually he is there with us, and he's promised to be with us when we receive communion. He's there embodied, right? And not just there like as a judge, but he's there for you, yes, for me, right? In the sacrament. So
right,
that right. same point that Peter is making in the epistle, Jesus is making to us when he feeds us his body and blood.
Right. And even just the words of institution, they always begin with our Lord Jesus Christ on the night when he was betrayed. I mean, even in Easter, we bring up those words that the Lord's suffering is always put before us. And it's through his suffering that we find healing and relief. And so the Lord's Supper, which is this remembrance of the suffering of God, it is this place of calm and healing and peace for us. And so how does Peter answer our suffering? He answers it through the suffering of Jesus for us. By his wounds, you are healed.
Yeah, no, I really like that. And then, of course, going back to what we said earlier, we're in the season of Easter. So we're talking about suffering. We're talking about Jesus dying on the cross. And of course, that's always connected to his resurrection. And he's the first fruits of the resurrection, right? And so I don't know. I guess. I mean, you got into this in your sermon too, but just that's hope as well for us that our suffering is going to come to an end, that there's hope in that. And our sin is dying every day. Our suffering, and I don't know, right? So that could be said too, that's being drowned in, I don't know, I'm going to use the word fading in a sense. Maybe it feels worse day by day, but.
Yeah, I mean, each day of suffering, is this fair to say? I mean, each day of suffering is a day that doesn't have to be relived, right? I mean, suffering is on a clock.
Mm-hmm.
It will be done away with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an eternal suffering. And at the same time, when we bring all this up, we're not diminishing or belittling or speaking lightly of how awful suffering is. And yet we know that suffering is not permanent. And why? The risen body of Christ is permanent.
Right. And because we're joined with him, we will one day have risen bodies as well.
Yes.
Just cool to think of. I've been saying that a lot. Cool to describe stuff. I don't know what other word to use.
No, sometimes it's an okay theological word.
Cool. You know,
the theology of coolness.
Yeah. I think so. One more thing. Sorry. Going back to suffering. It's just really interesting because my Bible study right now is on Bonhoeffer, and suffering is a huge theme there in Cost of Discipleship. And I mean, what Bonhoeffer's story, if you're not familiar with it, he was a pastor and saw the evils of Nazi Germany of the time and spoke out against it and actually helped set up a plot to try to assassinate Hitler, but failed, but then eventually got executed for his beliefs, what he was doing. So the book is talking a lot about this cost of discipleship and of being a follower of Christ and the grace God has given us, and about this suffering, this holy cross that we live under. I've thrown out this term in my Bible studies and stuff, but this is very theology of the cross, right? And we like to look for God in our successes and our health and the good things in our lives, right? That shows God's blessing upon us. And you could just look at Bonhoeffer's life and, like, I don't know, according to that definition, which would be theology of glory, it didn't appear that God was with Bonhoeffer, right? But then as Christians, just this connection, this joining together with ourselves in Jesus, we're very much with him. God comes with us into the pit.
Right.
Just like God went with Bonhoeffer into his depths.
Right.
Yeah. Of suffering.
Right. Christianity is not about a personal success story or a promise that we won't be in a chair like John in his suffering or Bonhoeffer in his suffering. Christianity is, it's all about being tied to Jesus, the Christ. And Christianity is God binding himself to us, coming for us. And he's done it. And he will do so on the last day.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Hopefully that gives more depth to Good Shepherd Sunday.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Not just picturing gentle Jesus with the sheep, but, you know, what more that name we can give God means, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good Sunday. Thank you all for suffering through this podcast.
Okay, so this wraps up the episode for today. Thank you for listening to our discussion. In case you missed the sermon or you'd like to listen to it again, the link to the sermon's in the show notes, and you can find it on our church website, stjohndublin.org. If you, the listener, would like to submit a question about a sermon, please email us at podcast@stjohndublin.org. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me and for feeding us the word this week.
Thanks for suffering through this podcast, everyone.
It's not funny the second time.
All right, we'll see you all.
Bye, you guys. Take care.
Bye. So who's theologically cooler, you or me?